It is a Thursday. It's time to talk to the voice of the Jayhawks, Brian Haney, brought to you by Anderson Insurance Agency, as Brian is in Kansas City getting ready for KU tonight against Texas. KU to number 3 seed. Brian, how you doing, and how's Kansas City treating you so far?
Hey, doing well, Wade. Great to be back in this event where Kansas has had such tremendous success over the years. 11 titles in 22 years, and obviously only have they ever gone out on the first day twice in 22 years. So hopefully we'll continue that streak tonight. But, man, this is a lot tougher than your typical first day matchup, because you're talking about a team that's fighting for its postseason life. Depending on what you mean, it might be a head coach fighting for his tenure down there. And they're a really talented team that just got back one of their senior leaders just in the nick of time to play Kansas. So this is certainly going to have a feel of probably a semifinal-type matchup here in the quarterfinals tonight.
Okay, since we last spoke, no big surprises. I don't think a lot of people thought that LeGerald Vick was going to come back to the team. Bill Self pretty much closed the door on that, and so Kansas moves forward. This is no surprise, right, that Kansas was more than likely going to move on, or Vick was not going to come back and save the day.
Right. I think those close to the program all along, and just even those covering it that, you know, listen to Bill Self talk, he's been inferring for a while about how good the locker room vibes were, how tight the huddle had become. And they're still super supportive of LeGerald and what business he's taking care of back there. But it's pretty clear that as the team tries to adapt and adjust and, you know, recalibrate themselves and move on, even though he's a guy that obviously would inject a lot of talent into that wing rotation, you don't readjust when now you're in the final season of the year. And by that, I mean the postseason. I mean, you have been what you're going to be for the last months, and while to some common fans that they don't look at it the way Coach Self looks at it, adding a player like LeGerald back to the mix right now might seem like a great shot in the arm, but actually when you've been going about things a certain way for a while and your chemistry and connectiveness of this team has really grown, a club that's won 6 of their last 8, and I think some of the chemistry issues that may have been present before his departure have gone away, to reinsert that. And even if he was a great soldier and a great teammate and all that, it is a little bit of a distraction. It kind of knocks you off kilter a little bit based on what you've been doing and where you've been headed. And you don't do that. You don't upset the apple cart as you're starting the postseason and starting one and done mode, you know. So I think it was growing in probability with every passing day that he did not come back, that he would likely not be back at all. And while they wish him all the best and still check on him regularly, you know, it's pretty elementary coaching thought, I think, at this point, that you don't change it up too much when you get to this juncture of the season.
Yeah, I agree with you. Brian Haney, the voice of the Jayhawks, with us, brought to you by Anderson Insurance Agency. They do farm, home, auto, life, and crop insurance. Stop by and see Matt and Jamie, 118 North Mill and Boyd, or call them at 738-5701. So we look at the Big 12 tournament. Baylor, Iowa State coming up here at 11:30 this morning. K-State without Dean Wade, but they get Cardiajada back. We'll play at 1:30 against TCU. Texas Tech, the 2 seed. I think a lot of people picking them to win this Big 12 tournament. They've been on a roll lately, taking on West Virginia. After West Virginia, exciting win over Oklahoma last night. And then Kansas, Texas tonight, of course, 8:30 tip-off, pregame 8 o'clock on Z96.3 Lake. If the Jayhawks would win, you would think they would face Texas Tech. When you look at the field here in the quarterfinals today, Brian, what stands out to you to the most? I mean, to me, K-State, how they're going to play without Dean Wade, they've had to deal with that last year. They've dealt with it some this year. I still think they're going to be tough to beat, especially for TCU in the quarterfinals today. And then they get Jada back. That'll be interesting, injecting a guy that's been out for a while, as you were just referring to. If you brought Vic back, you'd have the same situation from that standpoint. But when you look at the matchups today, what intrigues you the most?
Yeah, and I think the difference in that comparison is Jada's been with the guys. He's been in every practice, in every huddle, in every team meeting. And so it's a little bit different in that regard. But I think that clearly that's a guy they need to get back to be at their optimal potential for next week, starting with the NCAA tournament, because it was clear they didn't have the same type of pop off the bench over the last month with Jada out. But Dean Wade losing him this week, I mean, I think you have to drop K-State down to at least the third most likely team to win the thing now. I think that Iowa State and Baylor were already trendy picks on that side of the bracket, just because Iowa State, I think many feel, based on the fans that they typically get to come down to this thing and how well they've historically played in this event, and maybe with the most to prove of the teams that are firmly in the tournament and not on the bubble, but very much, you know, free-falling at this point in terms of their NCAA resume. I think Iowa State was kind of a trendy pick to begin with, and then when you take away Dean Wade, suddenly that side of the bracket looks a lot more navigable. And so for me, from a Kansas perspective, I was hoping all along heading into the last weekend that Texas Tech would grab the one seed, K-State would be the two, and we wouldn't have to see Tech until Saturday potentially. But, hey, to be the best, you got to beat the best at some point. I don't think Tech was going to get knocked off prior to the title round if KU or K-State didn't have a crack at them. So I think, obviously, now that West Virginia found a way to escape on a thrilling finish that you alluded to versus Oklahoma, you fully expect that to be kind of their last gasp and Tech to cakewalk into the semifinals. That may not happen, but, I mean, let's call it like it is. You're talking about the most thin team in the league that's, you know, clearly with Derek Culver has some talent, but going up against the team that's absolutely hitting on all cylinders right now, looks like they could play into a two seed by the end of the weekend, and is playing the best defense in the league. They're scoring off the defense as well as anybody, and they're having the largest margin of victory over anybody in the league. So that 2-10 matchup seems pretty evident that the Tech's going to be a heavy favorite. And so if Kansas can get by Texas, which is a major if with all the incentive that Texas has to play for tonight, I think, honestly, maybe the most intriguing matchup of the entire tournament would come on Friday night, 2-3 seed. And that's not too far of a stretch, and that's not discounting K-State at all. Give them all the credit in the world. But let's be real. One of the top five players in the league has now been taken away, at least for the start of the tournament. And that, to me, makes K-State not what they meant. So, to me, not that Friday night, hypothetically, should Kansas get there. Not that that would be for all the marbles, because, hey, if Iowa State, Baylor, or K-State made it to Saturday, they'd have some real steam and momentum behind them. But I think it's not a huge step out on a limb here, and you would agree with me that a Friday night Tech versus Kansas matchup would certainly have the feel of a, you know, premier championship caliber winner take all type game.
All right, I got to ask you this question. I had somebody send this in the other day, and I thought they made a pretty good point. Texas, you mentioned, they have a lot to play for. They are probably on the bubble. It's amazing. They are 16-15, and yet right there on the bubble to make the NCAA tournament. But no team with 16 losses has been an at-large selection NCAA tournament, if I read that correctly the other day. I look at Texas. They're 8-10 in the Big 12. But 16-15 overall, I mean, don't they really basic? I mean, don't you think they have to win the Big 12 tournament to get in? Do you really think that the committee is going to put in a 16-loss Texas team? Like, even if they beat Kansas and they make it to the Big 12 tournament championship and lose, that's still 16 losses. They would be what, 18-16? I love the power conferences. I get it and all, but I see the mid majors and I see, you know, St. Mary's going to take a spot from somebody because Gonzaga got upset. But then I see the number one seed all year long, best team in a mid major, and all of a sudden they get upset in a week against a team that has nothing to lose, and a team can just reset. I remember Georgia one year won the SEC and they barely had a winning record, they had a losing record going in. They had one hot week and they made the tournament. I guess for me, I'm kind of for the little guy from that standpoint. If Texas wants to get in, they better win the Big 12 tournament. That's just my opinion.
Well, I certainly understand where you're coming from, and you're right on the historical precedent. I mean, when have we ever seen a team with that many losses being considered seriously to make it in? But then you look at some of the caliber of wins they've had, not just North Carolina early in the season, but the fact that their conference record was better than a couple other teams that are right now on similar seed lines or maybe even in stronger position than them, TCU and Oklahoma. Now, I think after Oklahoma lost last night, that really opens the door for somebody else.
Yeah.
And to me, if Texas beats Kansas,
could be.
That guarantees you've got a positive record above 500. It's an additional quadrant one win. And you made a statement in Kansas City as opposed to bowing out to the weakest rung on the ladder. Which Oklahoma did. So to me, while Oklahoma felt really comfortable after they beat Kansas last Tuesday, because, well, now we're not going to go 6-12 in the league, which I don't think would have been possible to get into the tournament at 6-12.
Yeah,
they finished 7-11 after losing to K-State, but they really felt like they were in Oklahoma because they entered last week 42nd in the net rankings, 21st in strength of schedule, and then they beat Kansas. I think Texas is in a similar position if they were to beat Kansas, because right now they're 38th in the net rankings, and that's two spots ahead of Oklahoma. So if Texas went out and won tonight and Oklahoma lost, then to me, you know, it's Oklahoma that's the first team out amongst those eight vying for inclusion for the Big 12 Conference. I've been saying for the last couple of weeks, I think there's just too many teams skating on thin ice in the Big 12 right now to think that all eight are going to get in.
Yeah.
And the way TCU closed the regular season, they darn near gave up a 21-point lead last night.
Mm-hmm.
I thought they were really treading in troubling waters. But now that they won last night and Oklahoma lost, I think that, you know, clearly there's a case to be made that maybe TCU's trending in a more positive direction than the Sooners. But I just don't see a scenario where all three of those teams get in unless all the right dominoes fall in the smaller conferences, especially after Oklahoma lost last night. I felt like all three of those teams needed to post one win in Kansas City to you know, have the right trending upward vibe heading into Selection Sunday. And so, could be wrong. You know, as of yesterday, prior to the Oklahoma loss, Minardi still had eight Big 12 teams getting in. But to me, Texas is on a slightly better plane than Oklahoma as of now. But if they go out and lose tonight and they're 16-16, I'm with you, Wade. It's hard to put them in at that point.
You know, it's interesting, the matchups for KU and K-State, because K-State, of course, with the injuries we referred to, and K-State, you know, I'm sure if they win the Big 12 tournament, they can improve their seeding. But from what I've seen, they're pretty locked into a 3 or 4 or 5, but probably around the 4 area, maybe 3. And if they make a run, they'll move up in the seed line. But they know they're safely in a tournament. Kansas, they have, you know, they have stuff to play for. Certainly, they can improve on the seed line. Coach Self said maybe a couple spots. It just depends how it goes. But you know that you're comfortably into the tournament. You look at TCU playing K-State today and Texas playing Kansas tonight. I mean, you should expect nothing but the best out of both those teams, because, quite frankly, they are playing for an NCAA tournament berth. They have to act like they have to win today against either K-State or KU, which makes them extremely dangerous.
And when is that typically ever the case for Kansas? Usually you're playing in the 1 o'clock, 1:30 game.
Yep.
Against the 8 seed, who's not in the tournament,
yes,
who's headed to the NIT. Now you've got Texas absolutely having to win. And again, I don't like to talk about coaches' job security. I don't think that's fair for me in another university position to be talking about that. But yeah, I mean, there's a lot of smoke around Shaka Smart right now, if you read some of the Austin newspapers and all that. And so in terms of backs against the wall and, oh my gosh, we've got to have this, and now we're bringing back a guy that's been suspended for the last 3 weeks and suddenly he's here. I mean, they're going to pull out every stop they have to try and win this thing. And so it's a different feel for sure to what Kansas is used to on the typical, you know, first day of the Big 12 tournament. And only two times they ever lost, you remember them, down in Oklahoma City, mm-hmm, versus Baylor. I think it was 2009. And then obviously 2 years ago when Frank Mason was here, but Josh Jackson missed that game. Desmond Bain hit another big three in the corner like he did last night, and TCU upsets him. In this case, you know, Kansas isn't going to be playing shorthanded, but they're going to be taking on a team of much greater want-to and motivation than you typically get in what can kind of be a sleepy Thursday afternoon a lot of years,
mm-hmm,
in the Big 12 tournament when you're the one seed and you're taking on an eight that's just kind of playing out the string. Not the case in the 3-6 matchup tonight. We'll be tipping off about 8:45. We'll be on the air until 12:30 a.m., and we're hopefully not wrapping up from Kansas City and previewing Selection Sunday at that point. Hopefully we're looking ahead to Friday and a semifinal matchup. But I think this one's going to be an absolute dogfight. And what gives me hope for Kansas is the Jayhawks, when they lost down in Austin way back in late January, were still playing four guards around one big. With the emergence of David McCormick and Mitch Lightfoot, and now playing three out, two in, I think you're much better equipped to play a team of Texas's size and athleticism. It's still a scary, scary matchup, but I think the Jayhawks are clearly in a much stronger position to contend with them when you fast forward 6 weeks compared to what we saw in late January. And that, to me, gives me a lot of optimism that the Hawks can pull it off tonight. That and the fact that, obviously, it should be an impassioned crowd behind them for the most part, and willing these Hawks to what is the most important Big 12 tournament they will have played in a long, long time. We talked about this last week. There's only three ways to get a ring at Kansas. You either win the regular season, you either win the Big 12 tournament, or you go to the Final Four. You don't get rings at Kansas for making the tournament like other schools do. You don't get rings for making the Sweet 16 or the Elite Eight. And so I think these kids really recognize these next 3 days as a major opportunity, and hopefully they'll come out with the same type of motivation and let it all fly like Texas will here tonight.
All right. Real quickly, last question before off the wall. Give me a prediction. I want you to look in your crystal ball. What seed line do you think Kansas will be on, and any gut feeling as to where Kansas may go?
Man, it's such a tough prediction because I would not be surprised at all if I'm driving home later tonight and we're done you know, in Kansas City. Having said that, I think we'll win tonight, but getting over Texas Tech tomorrow might be impossible. If they win the thing, I think Kansas is absolutely a three. There's a remote chance they could climb even higher because they start the week tied for the nation's lead in quadrant one wins and have played the toughest schedule by far. But realistically, I think three is probably the top of your expectations and hopes. If they lose, there's a chance they could fall to five. And gosh, I don't think they deserve that based on, you know, the schedule they played, but we'd be talking about a nine-loss Kansas team. That's rarely the case on Selection Sunday. So, to me, I'm going to err on the side of optimism. I'm going to say that this Kansas team at least plays to Friday night, and they're in the 3-4 seed range that would give you pod seeding inclusion. It doesn't guarantee Tulsa or Des Moines, but it puts you in a strong position to get to stay regionally close if you're in the 3 or the 4. Make it to Saturday, and I think you got a great shot to be a 3 seed. If you go out on Friday night, I think a 4 is where this Kansas team's going to be. And right now, the odds makers would tell you the KU's most likely to go out on a Friday night. But I'll tell you what, I'll take my chances in a rubber match. Bill Self and Chris Beard going toe-to-toe. Yes, Tech has a more veteran team, but Kansas, you know, playing in front of a fired-up Sprint Center crowd that will not be completely one-sided. Tech's going to travel really well. But I'd love to see what these Jayhawks could do, smarting a bit from getting it laid on them pretty thick down there in Lubbock. That would be, to me, a championship feel on Friday night.
Yeah, I would agree with you on that completely. All right, time for the off-the-wall question. A man and his dog survived being trapped in their vehicle in deep snow in Oregon for 5 days. They survived thanks to eating packets of taco sauce. That's what allowed them to survive. So my question to you, Brian Haney, what condiment do you enjoy the most that you think could save your life? I know Mahomes loves ketchup. Some people like barbecue sauce, mustard, whatever it may be. But this guy apparently had a lot of Taco Bell taco sauce, and he and his dog lived off of that for 5 days and said it saved his life. What condiment could possibly save Brian Haney's life if he's ever, God forbid, in that predicament?
That's crazy. I love that story. Well, you know, not only does Patrick Mahomes love ketchup, but our athletics director, Jeff Long, does too. He did a special interview with a student reporter that you can find on the internet where he was just eating ketchup off a plate.
Nice.
I'm not a huge condiment guy. I'm kind of a plain Jane guy. I put ketchup on my hot dogs, ketchup on my burgers. That's about it. Never would touch mayo with a 10-foot pole. Don't really like mustard that much. But for the sake of being a little original, and since I'm in Kansas City, give me some barbecue sauce all day, every day.
Nice.
Barbecue sauce will save my life, especially if it comes from the right place.
Nice.
But none of the responses on this show, so I won't say what.
Well, that's well done. You sound like a politician already in mid-season form there. I'm in Kansas City. Oh, well, go with the old barbecue sauce. That's a good answer.
And I gave you one of three different seed lines from my prediction.
Yes, you
really
did.
Sidestepped that one.
You really are. You know, it's like you're a meteorologist. You know, well, what is it? We have a chance of 1 to 8 inches of snow. Well, wow, way to cover everything there. Of course, at least you didn't say
exactly.
KU is going to be anywhere from 1 to 7. Wade. Well, okay. Really, thanks for that input.
It is true though. When have we ever been doing these chats and you could have so much fluctuation,
yeah.
And you really don't have that greatest sense of confidence about tonight
no.
for sure being a win. So I do think they'll win tonight, and so I think 4 seeds most likely, but gun to my head, I'm going to bank on optimism and say our Hawks are a 3.
All right, sounds good. Well, we'll talk about the seeding and where KU will be next week with you here on the Sports Ticket. As always, we appreciate the time. We'll be listening tonight. Thanks, Brian.
Hey, we might be playing next Thursday. You never know how Sunday's going to go. So
that's
let's
true.
Line that up, and we'll look forward to it, buddy. Thanks a lot.
Take care. That's Brian Haney, the voice of the Jayhawks, as always, brought to you every single Thursday by Anderson Insurance Agency. They do farm, home, auto, life, and crop insurance. Stop by and see Matt and Jamie, 118 North Millen Boulevard, or call them at 7- 3-8-57-0-1.